Thank you. You might be seated. Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, if you will. Romans chapter 14. We'll just open the Word of God there and read a while, and I'll figure out something to preach. All right? I'll never forget hearing Dr. Tom Malone said, he said, I always try to read a lot of Scripture and preach. He said, do it for two reasons. One, he says, I read until I work up the courage to preach. And then he said, the second reason is I read a lot, so if I get persecuted in one passage, I can flee to another. So maybe that's a good idea. Actually, we're just going to read nine verses this evening, but I think we'll leave off with just six, and then we'll read the others later. Romans 14, verse 1, the Bible says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. No wonder he's weak. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. We'll leave off reading right there. You know, there's nothing to compare with being a child of God. Nothing to compare to it. Now, by that, I mean being born again, truly born again. You're not a child of God just because you were born, okay? There is that teaching that talks about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And, you know, we're all brothers in this world. And we're all going to the same place. That's not true, okay? That's not true at all. You're not a child of God just because you were born to Christian parents. You're not a child of God just because you try to live a Christian life. A lot of people try to do those things. But the Bible makes it real plain that you have to have a personal, individual decision that you must make for you to be a child of God. It's you have to make that decision. There has to be that time in your life where you personally turn to God and realize, I'm unworthy. I can't get to heaven on my own. I need the Savior. I must trust Him. And you came to Him and confessed the fact you were a sinner, called on Him and asked Him to save your soul. There has to be that instance in your life. You said, preacher, why you talk about that? Well, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The book of Acts tells us that there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's it, all right? That's the name of Jesus. Jesus said He was the door. He was the door. He said He was the way. He's the only way to eternal life. You have to be born again. But if you have been, there is absolutely nothing like the Christian life. There's nothing like being a child of God. And once you have been born again, you need to understand when I say there's nothing to compare with being God's child. You ought to understand that. You ought to understand what I'm talking about. However, there's a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of misunderstanding about the Christian life. That is the life you're to live once you get saved. There's extremes. One extreme says you have to live a perfect life to stay saved. The other extreme says if you're saved, you can do whatever you want to. And you'll be all right, all right? And because, hey, you've got freedom in Christ. Can I just tell you this? Both of those extremes are wrong. They're just wrong. They're wrong as they can be. Our text tonight gives some light on how we're to live. And I want to preach to you on this subject because I love to take the negative approach, all right? I'm going to preach to you on you can't live like that, all right? You can't live like that. There's something you can't do. First of all, I want you to see this. You cannot live for yourself. I can't live for myself. I can't do it. The Bible talks about others. Here in verse 1, it says, him that is weak in the faith. Him that is weak in the faith. Now, I remind you, God's, through the Apostle Paul, is writing to a church, a local, independent church, all right, group of believers in Rome. And in writing to that group of folks, he's talking to saved people. And he's saying to you, look, remember, there's some weaker folks in the faith. You need to receive them, but not to doubtful disputations, all right? One of the great problems that they dealt with in that day, they dealt with meat that was offered to idols, okay? And it talks about here, one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak only eats herbs, all right? He said some there's disagreement on that. In this instance, the weaker Christians still placed a redeeming value, if you will, on their deeds or their works, and they were worried about, well, if I eat that meat offered to idols, was anything wrong with that scripturally? Well, there's not, all right? There's not. You could have done it, all right? But what Paul is telling these folks here is you can't live to yourself. Hey, I just can't live for myself. I can't do that. I cannot live for myself. You cannot live for yourself. You've got to realize there's other believers. Now, we're talking in the church, local church setting. There's other people. There's other people. You cannot just say, I can do whatever because I know that. Well, wait a minute. Who else sees you? Who else knows what's going on? Hey, it's how we react to the weaker brother that is very important, all right? We have to be careful of our attitude. Well, some people have an arrogant attitude about them. Very arrogant attitude. You know, and they sort of look down on everybody else. They talk down to everybody else. It's, hey, I've been saved a long time and I know the scriptures. Well, good for you. But everybody's not you. Everybody's not you. Everybody's not been trained the way you've been trained. Everybody has not been to Bible college. Okay? Everybody has not had the chance and the opportunity to read through the Bible 437 times. Everybody's not on that same spiritual plane. So what do we do? One, I want you to remember this. Don't despise others who disagree with you. Don't despise them just because they disagree with you. Hey, we may have some points that we disagree with one another. We may have some points of doctrine where there's a little disagreement. Well, don't despise folks like that. Don't look down on them. Don't think, well, I can just run over them. No, you can't do that. Can't do that. Take your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just go there and look with me a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if we'll look down to verse 22. The Apostle Paul, once again, he's writing to a church, not at Rome, but it's at Corinth. And it's a bunch of, these are worldly, carnal group. But I want you to notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, 22. He said, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. We need to have the attitude that that weak fellow over there needs somebody to meet him on his level. But at the same time, this strong fellow over here needs somebody to meet him, all right, at his level and be able to deal with him. And you as a mature Christian, you cannot live for yourself. You've got to realize that what you do and your attitude is going to influence and affect other people. Other people. People come in. People visit the church, all right? We live in a day where people love to be a billboard. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, they get tattoos all over them, all right? I just want to be a billboard. I would like to spend, and the only thing I don't understand is they pay to have that done rather than getting somebody to pay them for doing it. And they want to be a billboard, all right? And they come, you know, all that. Well, somebody comes in that way, how do we greet that individual? Well, we greet them because we love them, okay? We greet them because we love them. And by the way, I've noticed when that individual gets saved, those tattoos don't disappear. They're there, all right? Very expensive proposition to get rid of them, all right? Some people have that weakness. What do? Well, we don't jump on them with both feet, all right? And there needs to be an attitude when we deal with them that realize, hey, there's strengths, there's weaknesses. God's still working on me. God's still working on you, okay? He is. And let him work. Let him work. Let him work in you. And let him work in others. But can I say this to you? Don't bad mouth the other people as he works on them. Don't do that. There should never be a time in a local church where any one or two in the church are running down somebody else in the church. That ought to never happen. That just shouldn't be done. Now, you can get together and say, I'm concerned about brother so-and-so. I'm concerned about sister so-and-so. I'm concerned about this man. I'm concerned about that woman. Let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. That's good. Oh, yeah. But be careful in your prayer.
Yes, sir.
That your prayer does not become, Lord, now I realize I'm so much better than them. No. Hey, God's still working on me. God's still working on you. Okay? Now, we may be at different levels spiritually, but he's still working on us, all right? He's still dealing with us. And we're to be careful. We don't split hairs over doubtful disputations, okay? There's certain things in the Bible that I don't think that we know everything about. I don't think we're to come to blows over those things. We can disagree. We can disagree. There's some things in the Scriptures. If you ask me, preacher, what do you think about that? I really don't want to just come out and tell you, all right? Because it's not something that's going to change anything. It's not going to change anything. Let me give you an example, the gap theory. Now, the people that believe in it say, it ain't a theory. Okay. All right. You said, what's the gap theory? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? The gap theory. All right, it's that space between your teeth. No, I was kidding. That's not the gap theory. The people that talk about the gap theory are folks that believe there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, all right? And they discuss that, and you say, preacher, what do you believe about it? Let's go on in the sermon, all right? I don't think there's anything quality that to talk about, all right? I don't think if we just pound it in and prove it, our way's right. What's it changed? Nothing. Not a thing in the world. Not a thing in the world. I just don't believe in going to fights over that kind of thing, all right? But, hey, there are some things we deal with that we wonder about. Should a child of God do that? Should a child of God do that? So how do we handle it? You know, if you have doubts about things, then don't engage in them. If there's a doubt, don't do it. Don't do it. Hey, we ought to ask our question, you know, time to time. Can I do this without sinning? Or can I do this without hurting my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I do it? I like to shoot pool. I couldn't tell you the last time I held a cue stick in my hand. It's been a long time ago. Now, a part of that reason is you can't find a decent place to go shoot pool. Right. I don't want to go to the bar, okay? I don't want you seeing me coming out of some bar. I was just sitting there shooting pool, all right? That's all I was doing. But you're going to say, sure. Yeah, I bet, you know. Come out of some place, you know, most of them, they're reeking with smoke and it's dim. You know, I don't want to shoot pool in a place like that. Now, I enjoy doing it. I'm no good at it, but I enjoy doing it. And if I had a lot of room and an extra room in the house and a high ceiling in it, I'd have a pool table. You said, why high ceiling? Because our neighbor used to have a pool table down in Florida, and he'd let us come over and play, and there was holes in his ceiling. Because if you've ever shot pool, you know, that cue stick sometimes, it makes a little round hole in the ceiling with no problem whatsoever, right? But... You know, I'm not, you say, well, what about it? What's wrong with it? Well, some people tell you it's the wrong thing to do. And I'd rather not do it than hurt somebody that thinks it is. I just don't want to do it, all right? Hey, you ought to consider, does it have the appearance of wrong or is it even suspicious? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from most of the appearance of evil. Does that sound a little off to you? Yeah, it says abstain from all appearance of evil. Hey, I'm not to do anything if it looks bad. If it would look wrong, I'm not to do it. I'm not to do it. Abstain from it. Hey, you ought to ask yourself, I'm going to do this, will it glorify God? Will it glorify God? Hey, is it good for me physically, emotionally, and spiritually? You ought to consider that. You know, some people just abuse their body with their entertainment, I guess you'd say, and things they like to do, and it beats them up physically. Can I just say to you, that's not a smart thing to do. That's just not a wise thing to do. Hey, that body is body God gave to you. You're to be careful how you use it, all right? You're to keep it in good shape as much as you can, all right? But you're not to abuse it, you know, with that activity that you engage in. I don't think rugby's the smartest sport in the world to play, all right? And there's a lot of other things along that line. Hey, is it good for you? You ought to consider those things. You ought to consider. Let me give you one last thing you ought to consider. Would I want to be found doing this when the Lord comes back? Would I want to be found doing this when the Lord returns? When the trumpet sounds? When the trumpet sounds? You imagine a child of God smokes, he inhales, and the Lord sucks him out of here. Where is he going to exhale, all right? And, you know, you say, preacher, it's not going to happen. I don't know, but you just think about it, okay? Just think about it. Hey, well, we could go on a lot of other things, just tons of other things. That's just one illustration that would I want to be doing it when the Lord comes. You said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you cannot live for yourself. For yourself. You can't do that. Second thing I want you to see, would you look at verse 7? Verse 7 back there in Romans chapter 14, the Bible says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Hey, you can't live to yourself. We don't live in isolation. We don't. Now, some people say, well, I almost have for months now, you know. I was talking to Miss Linda today over lunch. She's talking about some of her kin folks that haven't been really out of their house hardly at all since last March. They would come out 30 minutes a day and sit on the porch and go, and that's it. Hadn't been out of the house. Can I tell you this? That will affect you in more ways than you can even imagine. God did not make you and I to live in isolation. We can't live that way. Hey, can I say it to you this way? You don't live without your past, all right? You don't live without your past. You are what you are because you've been influenced by friends, family, tradition, heredity, experiences you've had. You've been affected by them. You are what you are because of those things. I've always argued with people that says, well, I want my kids to have it better than I did when I grew up. Not me. I was kind of glad that it turned out that my kids for many years grew up in a house that didn't have running water. Just kidding, we had running water. But didn't have central heat and central air, you know. I'm glad they grew up without that. I'm glad they knew what it was to wake up in the morning and it was cold in the house. And you get up and you'd light the heater, get back in the bed, and wait on it to warm up or you could operate, all right? That's a good thing. I didn't want them to have it either. Why? Because I am what I am because of the experiences I've had. The truth of the matter is you're bettered by the hardships you're able to overcome. Those things help you, all right? You don't need to live a life without ever falling down and skinning your knee, all right? You don't need to live your life without ever getting hurt. I think everybody ought to get bee stung at least once, all right? Everybody, you said, preacher, it hurts. Okay, when did hurting ever kill you, all right? You need to know what it's like. You need to know it. You need to know if you're allergic to it and it's going to kill you too, all right? So you ought to do it, all right? Hey, those things, it doesn't hurt you. We can't live without our past, all right? Other people invested in your life. I think of the people that's invested in my life. Hey, I'm so glad I had some Sunday school teachers that invested in my life. They taught me. Now, I had good Sunday school teachers, not so good Sunday school teachers, and others, all right? But I'm glad every one of them that ever taught me as a kid invested in my life, and they did the best they could. But they invested in me. They weren't professionally trained. I can remember sitting down in Sunday school class in Florida with Brother Garrett, and he had opened the Word of God. Man, he had the biggest fingers I've ever seen. He was a mechanic by trade. But he had sat down with us a group of boys and tried to teach us the Word of God. Boy, I'm thankful for that. I've tried to go back and find the Sunday school teachers that taught me and look them in the eye and say thanks. Thanks. Remember going to Brother Mayo and telling him, Brother Mayo, thanks for taking us to youth camp. Putting up with a bunch of knuckle-headed boys at youth camp. Willing to take off and take your vacation and take me to camp. Hey, somebody invested in me. You ought to give thanks to other people for what they've done. You didn't get where you are now all by yourself. All right? You cannot live by yourself. Hey, you can't live discounting your present either. Because what you do today has its effect on you and other people. Other people. It's there. It's going to be there, all right? Hey, you ever stop and think you can bring happiness to people or you can bring hurt? You can bring gladness, you can bring gloom. It's up to you. It's your life. You can live it, all right? You can bring a smile or you can bring sorrow. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your life? Well, I'd like to go through life making everybody mad, you know, cutting everybody off in traffic and be the griper at the grocery store. How long is it going to take for you to deal with that person there? I would just like to be the person that everywhere I go, you're like old... Who was Pigpen and the Peanuts cartoon? Wasn't it him that always had that little cloud over him, you know? Yeah, went through. That's the way some of you won't live. Everywhere it goes, a cloud over me. I bring doom and gloom where I walk. Why in the world you want to live like that, all right? Hey, you can't do it. That's why it's so important for you and I to live for Christ. Because we've got the opportunity to bring joy, all right? You ought to take... And be investing your life instead of just using it up. Just using it up. You know, I know people that they're big on investing financially. I'm not talking about investing financially. I'm talking about the life you have. It needs to be invested. But a lot of people, they just use it up. It's not invested. Why? Well, because I'm just trying to live for me. I'm just trying to live my life, do my thing, do the way I want to. But what about somebody else? Hey, you can't live like that. You can't live without your past. You can't live discounting your present. And I'll tell you this, you can't disregard the future either. The decisions today, the decisions you make today are going to affect your future. And by the way, they're going to affect the future of other people. Future of other people. You ever drive down the road and see a wreck? Yeah, I drive down the highway somewhere, maybe out in the country, and here you are, and there's that cross that somebody's put up, and there's a name on it, and maybe there's some kind of flower type thing, and it's put there because somebody died there. And many times I've driven along, and I think, what in the world? Why would somebody wreck here? Why would there be an accident here? It's not at a real sharp curve. It's not at some blind spot. Hey, man, it's wide open, and there it is. Well, oftentimes it happens because some fool's driving that way and without any concern, and they cause the wreck, and it hurts somebody else. Hey, you can't live this life without realizing the decisions I make today, they're going to impact somebody else. They're going to impact somebody else. Years ago, man, as back in 1999, Heidi's brother was bringing her and her sister and two other kids to school. And they had a wreck out on 287. Now, her brother driving the car, he wasn't doing anything wrong. But some other guy's in a hurry, young guy, and he's whooping in and out, you know, and he nicked the bumper. He in his driving, he nicked the bumper, okay, of Nathan's vehicle, caused it to slide, go off in the median, and roll three times. One of the young people in that vehicle was thrown out of that car. Their lives were changed forever. Forever. Guess what? The one that caused the accident? Nothing. No harm. But it was their foolish decision. Hey, I'm saying to you, you can't disregard the future because the decisions you make today are going to have an effect somewhere. You're an example to somebody. You're an example to somebody. You just are. I can say this to you plainly. You can trust Christ and live in heaven forever. You can disregard, you can reject him, forsake him, spend an eternity in hell. But you can't live by yourself. You can't do it. You can't live like that. The last thing I want you to see, look at verse 8, would you, there in Romans. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Hey, you can't live for yourself. You can't live by yourself. Bless your heart, you can't live to yourself. You just can't do it. You're a child of God. Remember, Paul's writing to the folks at Rome that were in that church, people that are saved. And he's saying to them, you can't live to yourself. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has a claim on your life. When you got saved, you trusted him. You now belong to him. He's got a claim on you. And that claim is something that's there and it's there forever. You said, well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have got saved. No, you wouldn't. You would have still got saved. You got half a brain, all right? I think of the great song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Boy, I serve him. I serve him. I think all that we have tonight, we have because of the grace and mercy of God. Everything. Because of the grace and mercy of God. No, preacher, it's because I worked hard. No, it's because of the grace and mercy of God. God has been good to you. My son, I was over at his house engaging in a spiritual experience this weekend. We were watching high school football. I looked, and he had recorded the game, and so we were there to watch that game. And I looked on his deal there that had the things he'd recorded, and it's something about being a billionaire or something like that. And I said, what in the world's that? And he said, it's this fella, and he said he could go into a place and he could build a $1 billion business or a $1 million business, something, and in a real short time, and it shows him doing that. And he said, it's a pretty interesting show. Hey, you know what? There's some people like that. There's some people in this whole world, God's gifted with them with the ability to make money. How many of you here tonight feel like God gifted you with the ability to spend it? Okay, don't raise your hand, all right? Don't raise your hand. There's a lot more, hey, we feel that way. But there are. There's people that God just gave them the ability to make money. There's others, it's not so much that way. And I believe God does gift people in that direction. You said, why didn't he gift me that way? Because he knows he can't trust you with it. Hey, there's a lot of people God can't trust with a lot of money. Just couldn't, I mean, he couldn't trust you. I've known of people, as long as they were barely getting by, they were faithful in the house of God. They served God, and they were faithful in church. But, man, when they got prosperous, never saw them. They're gone. They're gone. Now, what a mistake. What a mistake. I'm saying to you, what you have is due to the grace and the mercy of God. How can you possibly think of living with no concern about what he wants? How in the world do you think of with no concern, what does he want you to do? How can you live your life that way? How can you possibly do it? Teaching Sunday school this morning. Now, I was talking about serving the Lord. We were talking about the teaching that some people believe that because you're saved and because of the liberty you have in Christ, you can do anything you jolly well please, and it's all right. Well, now, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. And I mentioned talking to a holiness friend that, and we were talking about eternal security. And they said to me this statement. They said, well, if I believe what you believe, I'd live any way I pleased. I'd do whatever I pleased. I said, well, that's the way I live. But you see, what I want to do is please him that made me a soldier, all right? I want to please him that died for me. I want to please the one that loved me enough to die for me. That's exactly what I want to do. Why? Because I have to? No. But I want him to be satisfied with me. I want him to be able to say to me one of these days, well done. Well done. I want to, hey, listen, I want you to hear that. And if that's going to happen, you can't live to yourself. Cannot do it. Can I say this? His plans and his hopes for you are greater and higher than yours would be outside of Christ. Let him have his way. Let him have his way with you. And be able to say the way Paul did and really, really mean it, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Boy, that's the way we're to live. Hey, I cannot live for myself. I can't live by myself and I can't live to myself. But you know what? Neither can you. Neither can you. Why? You've been born again. He saved you. He saved you. He's got a claim on you. Everything you do, Lord, will be the thought. Lord, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? He said, preacher, I'm going to have to change a lot of things in my life. Well, change them. Change them. Just work at changing them. I just want to ask you tonight, and I'm done. Are you trying to live apart from others and apart from God? Just trying to say, well, I'm going my own way. I'm kind of doing my own thing. Well, I found out a long time ago, doing my own thing usually doesn't work out real good. I've done it a lot of times. I did it when I was a kid. I've lost skin because I was doing my own thing. I've lost some happiness because I was doing my own thing. Hey, listen, I don't want to lose the reward that I can get from the Lord. Hey, but you can't live like that. Are you trying to live just for yourself? You're trying to live just by yourself? Just trying to live to yourself? What a mistake. You can't live like that. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to see the truth of the Word of God. Help us to see our own condition. Lord, here tonight, this Sunday night crowd, Lord, I believe these folks that are here, they bear testimony. They've been saved. They bear testimony. They've been born again. They've trusted you as their Savior. Lord, I believe that. And there's no way in the world we can live like the world. That world that's out there that says, I'm going to live for me. I'm just going to live by myself and to myself. Lord, we know we can't live that way. You've done too much for us. You've made such a difference. And we have to live with the realization we affect the lives of other people. Lord, help us to invest our lives, not to just live it up, but to invest them and produce something that will be for your honor and your glory. Lord, help us take a look at ourselves, examine how we're living, and be honest with you about it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight? We sing the invitation hymn. God's speaking to you. The altar's open. You come. All right? How are you trying to live? How are you trying to live? Would you come tonight as we sing it? Come on.